Is Representative Ramos here?
Yes, he's here.
Okay. The Senate State Affairs is called to order. It is 9:05, and we have present for the record Senators Bundy, Green, Stevens, and myself, McGuire. We do have a, and French, and we do have a quorum to conduct business. We have three items on the agenda today. The first is the matter of House Bill 8. And we have Barbara Cotting here. And I don't know that there is a whole lot, if you want to come up. We had ended, there wasn't any public testimony at the time. Is there anybody else here today that wants to offer testimony on House Bill number 8? Anybody online? Okay, so hearing and seeing none, it brings the matter back before us that has been explained. This is naming the law enforcement training facility after J. Kevin Lamb. It's a facility being constructed near the Fairbanks Airport. Committee discussion. Okay, can I get a motion?
Madam President, I move that we move House Bill number 8 out of committee with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay, so House Bill number 8 moves on to the Finance Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, next we have Senate Bill number 40. Okay, so next we have Senate Bill number 144. Marit.
Wow, that was fast.
Moving right along. We have 10 minutes today.
We've got a CS here. Could I get a motion to adopt it as our working draft, Senator Stevens? Okay, so we've got any objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we have version C for Senate Bill number 144. Marit.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you. For the record, Marit Carlson Van Dort, staff for Senator McGuire, here to speak to you this morning about Senate Bill 144. In 2001, the state of Alaska privatized the functions of the tourism marketing program by contracting with the Alaska Travel Industry Association. Prior to that current structure, Alaska's travel industry was promoted by a membership organization which was comprised of both private sector and state officials. Since then, the Department of Community, Commerce, and Economic Development has contracted with the Alaska Travel Industry Association to design and implement Alaska's tourism marketing program. State statute currently requires a 50-50 matching funds, state general funds matched by private industry dollars. The recent passage of the travel industry taxes has had the dual effect of generating significant revenues to the state's general fund and eliminating the viability of the voluntarily raising the private sector dollars required to meet the 50% match, primarily coming from the cruise industry. So without the commitment of the cruise industry funding, the Alaska Travel Industry Association's ability to successfully market Alaska and compete with travelers in the national and worldwide marketplace is greatly compromised, particularly with regards to those independent travelers, so those that aren't, you know, signing up for tour packages, but that are coming to Alaska on their own, either driving the Alcan Highway or flying into Anchorage or Juneau or wherever. This section of Alaska's tourism, the independent traveler has stayed relatively stagnant and even declined slightly in the last several years. Senate Bill 44 in the CS will allow Alaska's travel industry to continue to receive funds by temporarily changing the statutory match required in AS 4433.125 from 50-50 to 70-30. This change will be repealed on July 1st of 2008. Additionally, Senate Bill 144 will create a 9-member tourism task force operating from September to December of 2007 to investigate long-term tourism marketing funding solutions. And this committee, or this task force, I should say, would be made up of one House member appointed by the Speaker of the House, one Senate member appointed by the Senate President, two members of the Alaska Travel Industry Association, two members of the cruise industry, which would both be appointed by their respective organizations, one member, the governor's special assistant to commerce, one member of the Department of Community, Commerce, and Economic Development, and finally, one member to be appointed at the governor's discretion. This task force shall submit its findings and recommendations to the governor and the legislature by the 30th day of the second session of the 25th Alaska State Legislature. The purpose of the temporary statutory change would be to ensure maintenance of the Alaska Travel Industry Association's marketing budget, therefore maintaining and stabilizing visitor numbers while allowing the state and the industry to better evaluate how the cruise industry will or will not participate in this marketing program. The tourism industry, I'm sure I don't have to tell you, has proven to be an economic engine for the state of Alaska. It's one of the largest industries in the state, with an estimated $2.4 billion annual economic impact, as well as being one of the state's largest generators of employment. It is absolutely essential for the state's economic well-being to support this renewable resource industry and foster its growth. Senate Bill 144, in its current form, I think strikes a good balance by helping the industry continue to market itself in its time of financial uncertainty, i.e. 2007, without mandating further state state expenditure. And I would also just like to finish with kind of driving home the fact that unless the 70-30 match is passed, the Alaska Travel Industry Association will not be able to match the $5 million that is in the core program budget. At this time, they know that they can raise $2 million, which would only would provide a matching fund from the state of $2 million, which would drop their $10 million budget down to $4 million, which is a significant decrease. So with that.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Bundy.
I thought I understood. Thank you, Madam Chair. I understood that the additional funds whether additional funds were going to come from the cruise ship industry or not is still a question that hasn't been answered. So it's not entirely accurate to say they'd only have $2 million. They may have more if the cruise ship decides to pony up.
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, you're correct. But in the event that they don't, this is providing a funding mechanism to be able to continue to market for this year.
Yeah, so that I can clearly understand, knowing hard-hearted business or hard-headed businessman, if the state provides money, do you really think the cruise ship then will provide additional money?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, you know, it's very political, and I know that the cruise industry was not happy with the state when they passed the cruise tax initiative, and I think that this is you know, their way to leverage some sort of power against the state.
So. Thank you. I wouldn't call it political, I'd call it practical.
Yeah.
If someone else is paying them freight, I'm not going to.
And just to follow up through the chair, I know that they haven't said that they're going to pull all their marketing dollars, but they will not continue to market, or at least they said informally that they will only market their own cruise packages and nothing outside of that.
And I just want to say on the record, I offer this bill as a way to think about how to solve the problem and talk about it. Not that I profess to know all the answers, but in talking with the tourism folks, we know that this is an industry that brings tremendous jobs and revenues to our state, and it is a renewable part of the economy, as opposed to the hydrocarbon part of it that doesn't ever come back once it leaves. And it's an industry that has been growing and has brought a lot to our state. So we're in this conundrum. We don't know. It's a little bit like the producers in Aegea, to be honest. I have no clue. If they mean what they say, I don't know. They say they're not going to contribute. They say they're going to market their own cruise packages because they're being assessed this additional amount of money. So we have to believe what they're saying and know that the dollar amount would go from 10 to 4 million, which is a significant hamstring on the ability to market the kinds of tourism that really benefit our local folks, you know, the folks off the main beaten paths. So that's the bill's offered in good faith based on that. I don't have any information that I can give Senator Bundy that would be, you know, absolutely guaranteed this is the fact. Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you. And my questions aren't to be taken as criticism of your intentions, of course. And I agree. I asked for a study that provided information that tourism is producing a net gain to the state. I mean, it's just whether the state can afford to take advantage of the opportunities or the gain that they would provide. And in that, do we have does the same fiscal note apply to this, the CS, or will there be a new fiscal note?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, I assume that there will be a new fiscal note because of the advent of the task force. And so I'm assuming that will add additional
costs. It does have a finance referral.
Yeah.
Okay, I have Patty Mackey on here. Sorry, come on up. Looking at it going, wait, she's here. From ATIA and Ketchikan. Welcome to Juneau.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Senator McGuire, members of the committee, my name is Patty Mackey. I am the executive director of the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau, so I brought the sun.
Yes,
on
you
my
did.
Way up yesterday.
From Ketchikan?
Yeah. But I'm actually here this morning in my capacity as chair of the board of directors for the Alaska Travel Industry Association. And I would like to start off by thanking Senator McGuire for introducing this legislation, for scheduling the hearing, and for your time this morning. I know it's busy this time of session. The committee substitute is, I think, a fair and reasonable solution to our immediate need, and I also think that it's helpful in that it addresses the long-term issues that continue to plague the tourism industry, and that is identifying the role of tourism as an economic engine for the state and identifying the amount of investment that the state of Alaska should rightly be making to continue to ensure that it's a viable industry for us in the years to come. It's no secret that this session, ATIA members have been in the halls on a regular basis, meeting with all of you and talking to you about our concerns about the future of tourism marketing, the issues that we know today are impacting our ability to get our message out about Alaska. And we've been very upfront with you with regard to the uncertainty that we presently face relative to the industry's Millennium Program, which was established 7-8 years ago now, and how the rules of the game have changed so much in the time since that legislation was passed. Where do we go from here? So in reviewing the language in this bill, I think that everything Senator McGuire and her staff says about the issue of the match this year is very true. At this time, we're in an area of uncertainty, and there are lots of questions that we can't answer, and I don't believe the cruise lines can answer at this time. So the match change, particularly for the here and now, is very important to us. I think you've all heard us say we need more money to market Alaska. What would really be a terrible shame in the midst of all of that is what money we actually have available to us being left on the table because we can't make the match. This isn't going to require more money out the door from whatever the legislature appropriates. That's what is going to be utilized by our group, but what a shame if a few million of it is left sitting here because we can't meet the mechanism of the match as it stands today. So that's our reason for looking for a solution to the match. I also think that the task force is something. I have a 1-year term as chair. You know, I can't save the world in 12 months. And but I would like to think that if nothing else, we've created an opportunity to start some long-term dialogue. And I really support the idea of this task force as a way for the state, the industry, to be at the table to discuss what our options are, what is tourism and what does it really mean to us, and to get some meaningful dialogue going about what we can do in the future to guarantee that it's going to continue to be a productive part of our economy.
Wonderful. Thank you, Patty. Questions for Ms. Mackey?
No questions?
No.
Senator Stevens.
Well, just help us understand this. So In 07, there was $5 million state funds, $5 million private funds, and so I assume that something like of that private $3 million was from the tour industry, the cruise industry, and $2 million was from everybody else. Would that be a fair?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, the way we get to $5 million is twofold. We have in place voluntary contribution levels that are provided to ATIA's marketing program through the cruise lines as well as through all of the DMOs or destination marketing organizations. So the visitor bureaus in the state, the chambers, the tourism offices, and local municipalities. All of us who are participants in the program contribute a percentage of our budget, and the cruise lines contribute a percentage of they have a formula based on the number of berths that they actually have in Alaska. And that is like the equivalent of our membership dues in ATIA. That's money that we put into the program. And then in addition to that, the remaining $5 million comes from the revenues ATIA is able to generate from advertisements that are purchased in the state vacation planner. You know, we print a vacation planner and it goes out, but we give people an opportunity if they want additional exposure, they pay for that, and that helps cover printing costs and it generates more revenue for ATIA. So optional advertising programs and what we call pay to play make up the remainder of that $5 million. And the visitor bureaus in the state generate roughly, I'll look at Linda real quick, one point about how much do the CVBs generate for our match?
The CVBs are around 500.
Okay, about 500,000. The cruise lines, we estimate, contribute about almost $2 million into just the voluntary contribution and another $500,000 into payment for advertising programs. And then the remainder is made up of advertising and other payments made by visitor bureaus or small businesses in the state that participate in the program.
Okay. Further questions?
So this $2 million is money the industry is already spending to do advertising and that sort of thing, you're saying. It's not a $2 million pot of money that then is used after the fact. This is $2 million that, say, the Kodiak Visitor Bureau has already spent for advertising.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, this is money that the Kodiak.
Help me understand the $2 million. Where is that money coming from?
That money comes out of my budget, goes to ATIA, and it becomes part of the overall $10 million that we spend on statewide marketing. So that's money that just is passed through my local budget, for example. It doesn't get, it's not like I get credit because I paid for an ad in Sunset Magazine out of Ketchikan. I'm giving that money to ATIA to build a $10 million budget.
$2 million in real dollars comes from
the cruise industry.
Yeah.
From voluntary contributions. And that money goes in the pot. It goes into a bank account. They write us a check. It's not like we credit them for something they've done on their own.
I'm sorry. I'm getting confused. So the $2 million that's left, I assume that was coming from other entities than the cruise industry.
Oh, you're saying, sorry.
It is the cruise industry.
Okay. Aside from what the cruise industry contributes.
Where's the $2 million coming from?
That's coming from members of ATIA who advertise in this, or they pay into services that we offer that that they want to participate in.
So it's other groups, Senator Stevens, like other hotels, other
tour companies,
yep. Anybody but the cruise guys. And that brings the point up that I was talking about, which is there is, and hopefully a task force could look at this, there is a real split. I mean, the cruise industry benefits the state, but it's in a whole different category. But there has been, ATIA has been able to sort of market it in a way that the mom and pops and the hotels and the folks along the way have benefited. Now there is this concern, we're sort of at this point in the road, where if the cruise guys believe they are being essentially taxed $2 million through the new head tax and decide to go off in their own way in terms of marketing and no longer contribute to ATIA, then that leaves the question of promoting tourism generally in Alaska in a sort of a conundrum. And that's what I was getting to, is that tourism is more than just the cruise industry, but the cruise industry has provided a significant chunk of that money. And so that's where we are. So it's all the other hotels and the other folks that want to have, you know, marketing for Alaska go out. And I would note, too, just as a general umbrella, there are states like Hawaii that spend untold amounts of money on tourism as a part of their budget. And I'm not suggesting that other parts of our budget aren't equally important or even more important, you know, children's health care and things like that, obviously. But it's a fair thing to ask and it has been a question that recurs, at least in the 7 years I've been here, over and over again, about what kind of an investment the state should be making in an industry that does bring a lot back. So, okay, Senator Bundy.
And can you help me understand a little more? Last year, the state share was $5 million. As the bill was originally written, and the industry share was $5 million. As the bill was originally written, the state would pick up 90%, and the industry would pick up 10% of that $10 million. So, yeah. 9-1. Now, as you write it, it would be 7 to 3 million, but they've only got 2 million now, so they'd have to come up with an additional million. Is that what you? Or were they planning to get to the 10 million?
I think that they were not. I think you only have 2 million. Is that correct?
That's what we can expect to have moving forward. Again, it goes back to the whole. I'm sorry, through the chair. The uncertainty of
Linda
the
can answer.
Funding as we move forward.
Linda Anderson, you want to put yourself on the record?
Thank you.
And explain. It's not the Finance Committee, so yeah. These numbers and percentages are.
I understand. Linda Anderson, I represent lobby for the Alaska Travel Industry Association. And just to help out our chair here, who doesn't live and breathe this every day, although she feels like she has this session, there's also a request in the Senate budget. There was $3 million in one-time funds. That has not been determined yet what the Senate will do in conference committee, but certainly right now, if this bill were passed, the ATIA budget would go from 10 million to 7 million. We would have 2 yeah. million to draw the 5, and then there's still a $3 million hole. So we are definitely trying to dig our way out of the bottom just to be kept even with where we have been. So. We still have a funding problem, but at least we haven't left the $5 million core budget on the table in state funds and not been able to access that.
And so let me explain one thing too. There are a lot of moving parts that folks on the other body have been working on, and certainly over here. And Senator Bundy's correct. This was originally 90-10, which would make the full amount. So I think there's a recognition that we might not get to that goal. Folks may not get to that goal, but they're trying to put pieces together in different places. No follow up?
Yeah. Well, no, I just so this would take care of 7 million, and
yes.
you're looking to squeeze another 3 out of finance. maybe I could phrase that a little more.
I don't know how to answer that.
I hope you can get more out of
yes.
finance than I can.
I have a question.
Senator Green.
I was doing some calculations here, and I don't see how your 30%, 70% gets you to 7 million unless you're intending to raise 2.5 or 2.6. Because that figures out 4.6 for the 70. I mean, have you increased your portion? Or. You're assuming it's close enough to.
We're assuming it's close enough. Yeah, we're assuming that we're going to get between 2 and 2.5.
Okay.
And we don't know either. This is
because if you get to 2.5, you get to your 7. Otherwise, you don't get. So. You get to 6.6. Thank you.
All right. Lots of work. Okay. Further questions for Patty Mackey? I have two more folks online, one online and one here in the audience. Chip Toma.
Short one-page statement. I'll give to the committee if you don't mind.
Okay.
Thank you. Here's one for staff too. I'm sorry, Senator.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Here's one for Sue. Thank you very much.
If you just put yourself on the record for us.
Very good. For the record, my name is Chip Toma. I'm a resident of Juneau, and I was a strong supporter of the cruise ship initiative and helped get that initiative passed. And so I'm familiar with these tourism issues. I've also been involved in ATIA's funding in years past and their proposals to come before. I'm addressing the 90-10 split. I was unaware that you had a committee substitute, but I will just say that it's a dramatic change to go from the 50-50 share, which we've been used to over the years, which everyone was pretty agreeable to anything other than that 50-50 share. So I think to do this, we have to have a demonstrated need and a logical advertising strategy for the future. And yet that situation has not occurred. I haven't seen ATIA come up with anything that's actually logical. I attended their meeting at the Special Committee on Tourism in the House, and I saw a very extensive video show on commercials, but there was nothing more to it. There was no substance to it. And the questions by the committee members to the ATIA is, what number of the people, the 2 million people that come to Alaska, do you think that you really affect with your money? And what it came down to is maybe 100,000 people. And that to me means 50,000 couples. And if it's 50,000 couples, that means that we're spending approximately $200 each to get those people to come to the state of Alaska. That's the kind of money that we're spending for the 50,000 couples that the ATIA might affect. So I think the ATIA has failed to make the case that the past state appropriations were well spent, or that an increased funding is the simple answer. Instead, the ATIA blames the cruise ship initiative as the probable cause of its funding woes, while ignoring the obvious fact that private advertising for cruises in Alaska now tops $70 million a year. Market forces appear to be working naturally to make the ATIA irrelevant in the big picture of advertising for a $2 billion a year Alaska tourism industry. In addition to the cruise ship advertising that's going on at $70 million, you've got ATIA doing it, and you've got all kinds of private firms. You've probably got $100 million worth of advertising each year in Alaska done by the private sector and the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, which all benefits Alaska. So I think this ATIA thing is just a drop in the bucket that just gets lost. It's like throwing bread out on the water and seeing if birds will come down or fish will come up, but I just don't think it's there. Governor Jay Hammond articulated the gold standard for state funding of industry 3 decades ago: no subsidies. ATIA should wake up and use its considerable marketing skills to raise monies for the 50% share agreement they now enjoy before it all dissolves in the wake of the very wealthy cruise industry. So please consider these issues as you decide this level of funding. I know the House is having, as you said, Madam Chairman, some problems with this too, and that concludes my statement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions for Mr. Toma?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and next, the final person we have online is Gerald Scholand.
Hi, I'm Jerry Scholand from Homer. My wife and I own the Kiana Bed and Breakfast. And also, I'm the president of the Bed and Breakfast Association of Alaska. I think it's great to live in a state where we get an opportunity to give our opinions to you and appreciate your time to listen to us. Probably all of you know that bed and breakfasts are very small businesses. Several earn less than $25,000 a year. We just cannot afford to advertise worldwide, and therefore we support ATIA. And to go back to Senator Stevens, Gary, your question, my $429 is part of that $2 million that's raised from private industry. And I might like to point out, with due respect to the previous speaker, that we're one of the only states in the country that is not 100% funded by taxpayer money. We are one of the only states in the country, I think there's only 4 or 5, where private industry as well as state tax money provides the support to market the state. We need ATIA to bring people into the state because we as a small business can't afford to be out there marketing worldwide. Competition for tourism is increasing worldwide. You only have to pick up a magazine or listen to the advertisements to know that places like Australia and Brazil and even cities spend a lot of money, more than Alaska, to market themselves. Currently, we're in the bottom third of the 50 states for advertising with our $10 million. There are states that spend 7 and 8 times as much as we do. We absolutely need to increase the matching ratio for ATIA, and in my opinion, if not going for 100% taxpayer supported. I know that's not a popular opinion, but I'll give it anyway. If we don't increase our funding for ATIA, and especially this matching ratio, some of our little mom and pops, such as the B&Bs, are either going to decrease in numbers and are certainly going to decrease in our revenues per B&B. So I'm asking you to please approve and move forward Senate Bill 144 so that we can get at this problem. And I do hope that we will also enact the part that sets up a task force to answer some of the questions of the previous speaker and of the legislature, so we can move forward and in and over the long run ramp up our spending to where it was back in the 90s when it was much more than $10 million. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Questions? Okay. Is there anybody else here in the audience that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 144? Anybody online that I've overlooked? Okay, hearing and seeing none, that brings the CS back before us for committee discussion. Senator Bundy.
As you pointed out, this isn't Finance Committee, and so they can wrestle with fiscal notes up there and weigh this against the supplemental appropriation that the industry also wants. Again, it's a viable, important Alaska industry. It becomes a question of how much Alaska can afford. And even though this isn't Finance Committee, I think we're all aware that next year and probably the year after, certainly the year after, we'll be in a deficit, and it'll become a question of which Peter do you want to rob to pay Paul, because this subsidy will have to be paid for by taking money from some other state service. So I'm questioning the long-term outlook of this program under current financial projections. And I have some I have earned my reputation of being the cynic of the Senate, but I think I'm also a realist that if we establish a program where the state picks up more of the cost, I don't care what the task force says, that is precedent, and that's what will continue to be the case. Now, we've heard arguments that someone say we should pick up 100% of the cost. What we don't hear is how should we pay for that? Who wants to pay taxes for that, or who wants to reduce funding for schools or troopers for that? Having said all that, like I said, they can argue about this in finance, but I don't think we should be unrealistic that the long-term future of this program is at all secure.
Okay, further comments on the record? Okay, can I get a motion?
Madam Chair, I don't have a CS. You have a...
Yes, / C.
I think it's
sorry.
Probably that CS.
Yes.
Thank you. So, Madam Chairman, as I understand it, this CS would reinstate, or it would be a 90-10. Is
yeah.
that right?
No, 70-30.
70-30. Okay. Madam Chair, I move that we... No, we have adopted the CS, or we
yes.
need to adopt it?
We've adopted it. We adopted it, yep.
Madam Chair, I move that we move CS for Senate Bill number 144 out of committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Okay, is there an objection to the motion to move it on? Okay, hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 144 has moved. Thank you to the folks that came to testify today here and online. Okay, next we have, I see Senator Wilkowski has come back. Senate Bill 40, and Tam Cook is online. Okay, tell us about Senate Bill 40.
Thank you, and good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bill Wilkowski. I'm the Senator for Northeast Anchorage, and I have previously presented on this bill, and I'm here today to respond to any questions people might have or
that's right.
try to clarify anything, any issues that people may be concerned about.
Senator Green.
No, I was just going to ask him to pull the microphone up. Because you're, I have no question.
Okay, Senator, anybody here in the audience to testify on this bill today? Okay, anybody online? All right, so committee discussion. Senator Bundy had, Tam, you're on the line. Senator Bundy, in our the last time we heard this bill, brought up the point about the needs-based concept that AARP and some others had supported, and I wanted to hear your opinion about whether or not, even if it didn't, I mean, whether or not we could offer an amendment that would allow for a needs-based analysis.
Madam Chair, this is Tamara Cook.
Did you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Tamara Cook.
Yes.
Okay. Certainly the committee can consider an amendment that would transfer the longevity bonus program onto a needs-based program. There are issues to consider. Number one, I believe that it would be problematical trying to re-up the program and limit it to former applicants if it becomes needs-based. You've got a real equal protection problem as soon as you go to needs-based. So you would probably need to consider a program that was open to new applicants. And number two, you would need to consider the residency issue. Most needs-based programs cannot have a durational residency as long as a year, which is the current longevity bonus program. So essentially, in some respects, the committee would be faced with creating a new program, a new needs-based program available to all the people that qualified under whatever the criteria was.
Okay. Committee discussion. Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think the policy choice for us is whether to embrace this model or embrace the senior care model, which is essentially the needs-based program that's being discussed. I support both.
Never enough.
Senator Bundy.
Well, hearing all that, I don't have an interest in trying to amend this to needs-based taking a lesson from Senator French. Some of my friends like this and some don't like it, and I always agree with my friends.
All right. We may just have to bring it to a vote. Is there any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Bundy?
Well, as I think and as I read the tea leaves, the reinstatement of longevity bonus is highly unlikely. I certainly wouldn't support that. And I would vastly prefer the senior care program that's going through the process over this. And to do this, we've heard comments about promises to seniors and that sort of thing, though I don't remember making one of those. I think if we were to move this bill on and it becomes just a basis for false hope for some people, and I don't know of anything more cruel than promising to give something and taking it away, and then maybe we'll give it back, and then maybe we won't, and all that sort of thing. So I think we should just very clearly say, from my point of view, the policy statement is we're going to do senior care and the longevity bonus will not reappear.
Well, and I think my concern has been that there's some indication that the senior care package is stalled. And so, you know, the seniors that are out there talking about it, I think they have made a genuine case that they need some help, some of them. And I just have a real strong belief that, you know, the elders in your society and your children are the people that you should take care of. And I have a very strong belief about that. It's the people that can't take care of themselves. They're at a place in their life. You can't go back at 75 and get a job to supplement your income. You've made the choices you've made, whatever they are, and you are where you are. And I think the concern that I have and why I brought it up today is to advance another vehicle that allows for discussion to continue on what we will do for our seniors, because I don't think it's a question of not doing anything. I think we have to do something for them. And the concern that I have had, and so that's why I think it's fair to have debate and have a vote on it. The concern that I have is I thought that senior care package was moving, and I've heard otherwise. So It's a question. Do you believe that it's a state function to help your seniors or not,
Senator French?
And I think you articulated it well, Senator McGuire. I was being a little facetious when I said I supported both. I certainly want to see us do something, and I think your concern is well founded. We should not come away from this session having done nothing, and so that's why I'm in support of the bill moving at least onto the Finance Committee where it can join the discussion.
Further discussion? Okay, do you want to make a motion, Senator French?
I would move that CS for Senate Bill number 40, with the attached fiscal notes, be moved from committee with individual recommendations, and as I said, the attached fiscal note.
And I'll object.
Okay. Madam Secretary, will you go?
If I could speak.
Oh, yes, of course. Senator Bundy.
And my objection isn't that I want seniors to die in the streets, of course. It is that I think this is a program, the longevity program is a program that's not viable. I think the other one is, and I will support the senior care program when it comes forward. And I truly believe that we will have a solution at the end of the session. But this is not, in my mind, one of the options.
Let the record reflect Senator Bundy's being optimistic.
I'll get over it.
Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
Senator Green.
Yes.
Senator French.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Senator Bundy.
No.
Chair McGuire.
Yes. And so the CS for Senate Bill number 40 has moved on to the Finance Committee, where your work is just beginning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wilikowski. And so we are adjourned again early.